Good morning, everyone. I do thank the Lord for giving me and my family the privilege to come and worship the Lord with the saints over here. Before getting into the word ministry, as we are sitting in prayer for our dear sister, I'd like to take a couple of minutes to share about the ministry that we are involved. I'm not prepared with any PowerPoint. Last time when I came, I think it was almost 2 years back when you just opened the church after COVID. Not a lot of people were there, but we just came back from India, me and my wife, and still we are in the jet lag. Last week, we came back from northern part of India. We were in Bihar, Bengal, and Jharkhand. So continue to pray for those ministries that we are doing in the interior parts of the villages. Last time, I had mentioned about how we approach to the people over there, and a lot of people have come to know the Lord, and new churches have been planted, and we are working with all the local people over there who come to know the Lord. So continue to pray for them. They are very poor people, and their demands are not a lot. And we can do effective ministry there because the projects are not big projects. It's a very small project because in the villages, you don't need big projects. And the persecution is not as much as you go to the city. So till now, we have no persecution. And God has been good to us. This time, me and my wife, we visited Patna. I spent most of my life in Bihar, so I'm used to the language and the culture. So last November also, I was there and I focused in one place called Bhaktiarpur in Bihar. And we could see the work going on there almost in one place. There are about 200 to 300 believers gathering. Most of them are saved people, but they know nothing apart from Jesus died for their sins. That's how they acknowledge, and they are saved people, but there is no one to teach them the word, and these people, they are not literate. That's the biggest struggle. So even though we want to share the gospel, they cannot read the Bible. But there are audio Bibles available, but you can understand in the villages that also does not help. So you have to have one-on-one communication with these people. So the advantage that I have is the language. I'm very fluent in the local dialect, whether it is Bhojpuri or Hindi. So I communicate with those people. And November when I was there, and this time, just last week we were there, they still remember the messages that I preached and the studies that I took, because that's the way you can teach them. You know, it's not through any literature. You just conversation. They cannot read, they cannot write. So now they want us to start a Bible study for them. So God willing, I'm just planning that process, how to do it through Zoom, so that they may be able to grow in the word. So this time when we went, there were about 15 to 20 people ready to get baptized, and they wanted to do it in River Ganges. So it's not so safe, but we postponed it because my wife was there. When I am alone, it's okay. I don't look like a Malayali guy or anything when you go to Bihar. I look like a Bihari guy, so I can mix with the people over there. I didn't want my wife to be with me at that time. So pray for all those people and the work that's going on. That's one of the focus that this time we planned, and I seek your prayers. I know that you all have supported us in prayers and financially. So I thank the Lord for that, and I look forward that you may continue to pray for us as we continue that ministry in the northern part of India. As we are worshiping this morning time, the subject that I wanted to speak on was already spoken several times. Brother, during his exaltation, he mentioned about eternal God, eternal life. We would be in eternity. And that is a subject that I am going to speak on. We all speak on various subjects, and we have experiences on those subjects, either personal experiences or people sharing their experiences, and we can understand that. A simple example is, if I have a headache, I can share many things about a headache. People, those who have never had a headache, but they can understand, because we all are in the same physical body, and when I tell them that this is how headache feels to you, or it's so bad. But the subject that I am going to talk about, I have no experience on that subject. And I know I can very boldly speak on that subject because none of you have any experience on that subject. But we have the word of God, and the word of God very clearly talks about that subject. So we are going to look into that subject, and that subject is about eternity. So this morning time, I would like you to sit prayerfully and look from the word of God, what is eternity? No one can share, any one of us, none of us can share anything about eternity because we have not experienced eternity. Few years back, my father went to be with the Lord. He's in eternity. He never gave me a call to explain what eternity means. Many of your own family members have gone to eternity. No one has shared anything, but we have a proof of eternity. That's the word of God that we have. And it's a very interesting subject. It's a very vast subject that we cannot fathom because we are not yet into that stage, but we are progressing. We are one day closer to that situation, but it's a very beautiful place. It's a very beautiful experience. One of the great American preacher, Jonathan Edwards, he prayed to God like this. Lord, I want you to stamp eternity in my eyeball. What a great statement that man of God made. He wrote down 70 resolutions. And every day he used to read those resolutions, reminding himself that this is the last hour of his life. How many of us really consider this time as the last hour of our life? None of us. We are so much attached to the earthly things. We are so much attached to the earth that we sometimes forget what is eternity. But the man of God, Jonathan Edwards, when he prayed to God, God, I want you to stamp eternity in my eyeball, so that whatever he looks at, whatever he thinks about, however he lives his life, that would be with an eternal perspective. Imagine if eternity is stamped in our eyeball, whatever we are going to look, it would be an eternal perspective. So we have to change our perspective. We are so much attached to the earthly things that we don't want to leave this earth. And that's why during the rapture time, God is going to snatch us away. Because we are not willing to leave this earth. Our attachment to our family, our attachment to our children, our attachment to our wealth, our attachment to our job, our attachment to our houses. We are so much attached to the earth. But let me remind you what Jonathan Edwards taught us. To remember that this is your last hour. We don't know how many more minutes we are going to get in this world. But if we understand this is our last hour, then only we can live our life with a different perspective. And that is a subject that we are going to talk about. Even Jesus talked about in the book of John chapter 14, verses 1, 2, and 3. What was the statement of Jesus? We all know that portion. So he was also talking about the same thing. John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is what Jesus talked about. Let not your hearts be troubled. He was talking about eternity. He told his disciples, and he tells us that I am going to prepare a place for you. Where is that place? That is in eternity. And the portion that we are going to look at from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul reminds us about eternity. And I want to read that portion, the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Three verses that we are going to focus on, verse 16, 17, and 18. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not, But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Here you have the answer, what is eternity? That's how I started. And I will end with the same question, what is eternity? How do you explain eternity? Can anybody explain eternity? It's very hard to understand because our mind cannot comprehend that. Why? Because whatever we think, whatever we do, it is related to time. And eternity, there is no time. Time does not work in eternity. And therefore, we cannot understand eternity. In eternity, it is no past, no future. Everything is now. Let me illustrate it that this would be the simplest way of explaining eternity. Have you seen that thread roll? Or, these days you don't have the printer paper, but when you go to the airport, when you get to the front desk, you see that when they print that, the passenger details and everything, they still have that. Earlier we had that printer paper. Nowadays, it would be a stack of those printer with the holes on the side. And so have you seen that? It will go on printing and it just goes on, just goes on, just goes on. Or just imagine a roll of thread, a big roll of thread. When you open that thread, it just goes on, it just goes on. You don't find the end. I would illustrate it like this. I take the first little portion of that thread and compare the eternity to the later portion. When you unroll that roll, it just goes on. Our life in that roll is only this much. In the roll of thread, it is only this much. And your eternity will be defined on how you spend this small portion of your life on this earth. But we are so much glued into this small portion that we forget the later portion, that is eternity. But I would challenge you that eternity would be defined by this small portion of time that has been given to you and me on this earth. It is very small, very little portion. And therefore, in the book of Psalms chapter 90, where Moses reminds us, and he tells to God, so teach us. He starts like this. So after all those things, he says, so teach us to number our days so that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Have you ever thought of that statement? What did Moses mean? He's praying to God and he's telling God, yes, our life is so fragile. Our life is so short, like the grass that withers away, the flower that is in the morning, you see the grass, in the evening, it's gone. Our life is so short. So teach us to number our days. What does the teaching to number your days? Is he telling God that, okay, if I have 70 years, 60 years, give me the number of days? No. Moses is praying to God, God, we know how short our life is. So I want you to let me know how to live a life that may bring glory to you. So our challenge this morning would be, Lord, whatever time that you have given to me, the remainder of my life, teach me how I can use that time to lead a life that may bring glory to you. And that we can only do if we change our perspective from earthly to heaven. That we can only do if we have an eternal perspective. That we can only do, as Jonathan Edwards prayed, to stamp eternity in my eyeball. And then only we can understand this portion that Paul writes here in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, 17, and 18. So I will sum up my sermon in 3 points. The first point in verse number 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. What does Paul mean by making this statement over here. If you come to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 11, there the author very clearly writes about God, what God intended for mankind. It reads like this: God has set eternity in the hearts of man. Have you ever thought of that statement? God has set eternity in the hearts of man. It does not say believer. So whether you are a believer, you are a child of God, or you are not a child of God, eternity belongs to you. Have you ever thought of that? When God created man, that was his plan. God's plan for man was eternal. But the difference is, whether if you are a child of God, you have eternal life. You have eternal heaven. But if you are not a child of God, still eternity is yours. But you will be in eternal damnation. You will be in hell, eternal fire. So that is the purpose of God. He has set eternity in the hearts of man. Now the first point that reminds us as believers, for us, something beautiful is coming. Eternity is something beautiful for each one of us. And Paul reminds us of our situation when we are on this chapter 4 and 5 talks about eternity. And he says in the second part of verse 16, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So the inner renewal that we experience in our life shows that something beautiful is coming. The inner renewal in our life that we are experiencing, it shows that something beautiful is coming. What does Paul mean over here? He's saying, our outward man is perishing. He's saying, though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You know, there's something opposite going on. Those two things cannot go parallel. I am 50 plus. My hairs are gray. I have wrinkles on my body. I am no more the same who I was 20 years back. And I am being reminded every day that I am getting older and I am getting older. When I bend down, it's very hard for me to get up. I was an athlete. I was a basketball player. I used to run 100 meters and all those. I was a champion. But today, I cannot even get up when I sit down. That is reminding me that my outer man is perishing day by day. So should I be excited or I would be sad about that? That is a question for each one of us. Are you excited that you are getting older? How many of us are getting excited that I am getting older? We are so much into our outward that we forget that there is something inner. And the inner man can only grow if the outer man is perishing. They both cannot go parallel. If the outer man is not perishing, the inner man can never grow. Your outer has to perish for the inner to grow. 30 years back, my outer was more energetic, but my inner was dull. But now, my outer man is perishing, but I am no more that backbencher in the church that I used to be 20 years back. I have grown spiritually. Because my inner man is growing, it is renewing day by day. Think of this. This morning time we all came to church. How many minutes did you spend to take care of this outer man? I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about myself. I took some time to brush my hair, to put on this suit, to put on the tie, to dress up, to look good, right? To be presentable. And I believe every one of us took their time to take care of this man that is going to perish, that is dying. But how much time did you take to prepare the inner man that is going to live for eternity? Our focus has to be changed. We have to think on eternal perspective instead of looking at that small lifespan that we have been given to us. Think of that eternity. It is so vast, it's so huge that you cannot even fathom. Everyone is so much attached to the earth. Yes, we can claim that we are ready to leave this earth. Christ comes today, we are ready to leave this earth. But really, keep your hands on your heart and judge for yourself. Are you really prepared to leave this earth? If that is the case, then let me ask you one question. Every one of us, if you go out on the street, morning you wake up, people are gasping for breath. They are running hours and hours, spending time on the treadmill, taking all those pills, vitamins, and look at the medicine cabinets. It's filled with all those vitamins. We all want to extend our life. But let me remind you, Psalm number 90 said, our days are numbered. Not even 1 second you can add in your life. Your multivitamins, our exercises, our treadmill doctor is sitting here. He cannot extend your life. None of the medication is going to extend. We sometimes presume that it's because of medication our life is extended. But let me remind you, Psalm 90 very clearly says, it is numbered. Not even 1 second of your life you can extend, neither you can reduce. It is numbered. So why think of this life? Why don't we think of that eternal perspective? So Paul is teaching us. He is saying, though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So praise God. If my outer man is dying, if I am getting weaker and weaker, that is reminding me one day, one more day, I am closer to my eternal home, to my Father's house. Proverbs 16 and 31 says, gray hair is the crown of glory. It is gained by living a godly life. So my hairs have gone gray, no more black. And it is reminding me that I have lived a godly life. But we don't want to become old. We want to be healthy. And therefore, it's not Paul saying, I am saying, let us not dye our hair, let it die. Let us not D-Y-E, let it D-I-E. Right? So that makes perspective, right? So we are getting older. So it shows something better is coming. That is the first point. The second point in verse number 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. So the nature of trial, the second point is, the nature of trial proves that something better is coming. For we believers, it shows that something better is coming. The nature of trial, that's what Paul is reminding us. For our light affliction, and did you look at that word? We all understand affliction. But Paul is saying, our light affliction, everyone in this world is going through some or the other affliction. And Paul is saying all these afflictions are light. Now, you may go to Paul or I may go to and Paul and you may talk to him and say, man, you don't know what I'm going through in my life. And you are saying light affliction? Then Paul will tell you, the afflictions that I have gone through, none of you have gone through that affliction. Let's read those afflictions. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verses 24 through 27. 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 27. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the desert, on the seas, and I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Where do we fit in this? I don't fit in any of his qualifications or whatever he mentioned. I never got 40 minus 1 lashes, not even one. Yes, maybe a couple of lashes in, you know, school days, our parents used those stick to beat us. But what about the young generation? We cannot even touch you. Not only that, 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned. How many of you got stoned? 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled many long journeys. I have faced many dangers from rivers and robbers. He says about that he was hungry. Verse 27, I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and haven't gone without food. Our kids, do they know what is hunger? Do they know what they were when we talk about how we were hungry, we didn't have clothes to wear back when we were not? Do they understand this? Paul went through this. And Paul is writing all these afflictions are light afflictions because Paul is not talking about, he understands when we are in this world, we will go through this trial, we will have persecution, we will have problems. But he's looking at eternity. And he's comparing it with eternity. When he's comparing it with eternity, he's saying all these things are momentary, all these things are little, this is nothing. These are light afflictions. I reach out to people, I go out into the villages, I preach very boldly, but I have never gone through any persecution. But last November, when we were in New York, my wife went through persecution. She was assaulted. She was pushed down on the Bronx street. The guy is still in the jail. Some of you saw the pictures. She went through persecution. I am the forefront, but she got the hit. She was pushed by that guy. The guy sat on top of her, punching her. It took about 6 to 8 police officers to come and take that guy off. He's in jail. The case is going on. She went through that assault, standing with the banner, preaching about Jesus Christ. I didn't go through any of it. So Paul is saying these are light afflictions. So if you are going through persecution, don't murmur. Don't grumble. Praise God for that. Because it is reminding you and me that something better is coming. We are leading into eternity. Eternity is very beautiful, my dear brothers and sisters. Don't focus your life on this earth. Don't be attached to this earth. Remember what Jonathan Edwards prayed. Let us pray that prayer. Make a resolution. He made 70 resolutions and he focused on every resolution. And every moment that God gave him, he lived according to those resolutions. Do you have any resolutions in your life? Youngsters, do you have any resolutions in your life? Your career is very good. But what happens if everything is doomed today? Everything will be burned down. Your resources, your wealth, it's going to go away one day. Your treasures, God said not to store over here when moth and robbers, they are going to destroy it. But where are you storing your treasures? So your trials, your persecution, your problems in your life, your difficulties in your life, you have to praise God for that. Because it is reminding you and me that something better is coming. That's the second point. Let me come to the third point. Verse number 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So you get the answer, what is eternity? Whatever you see here, this is not eternity. These all are temporal because you can see with your eyes. The scripture says, whatever you don't see, can you see God? I cannot see God with my physical eyes because he is spirit. He is eternal. I cannot see him. God is eternal. And here Paul reminds us, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that is faith. Eternity demands faith. Without faith, you cannot have eternity. It demands faith. That is why the very nature of faith, it demands eternity. Think of Abraham in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, we read oftentimes about the men of faith, right? In Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about Abraham. What do we know about Abraham? He never had a house. When God promised him everything belongs, wherever you look, everything is yours. Can you even imagine? Everything is yours. But he never had a house of his own. He never built a house of his own. He lived in tabernacle. He lived in tent. Because he was looking at that future city whose foundation, the builder and the architect was God. He always focused his life on eternity. And therefore, he did not have any treasures on this earth. He was always looking at the future city. He never saw in his lifetime, but now he's in eternity. Think of Moses. When he left that palace, why did he leave all those treasures behind? Because he was looking at eternity. And here also Paul reminds us, faith demands eternity. So the best is yet to come. In chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians and verse number 9 says, wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. We may be accepted of him. So whatever you do on this earth, whatever you store on this earth, when you compare it with eternity, it comes nowhere near. So where do you want to spend your eternity? That would be the question. As my time is over, I would conclude. Paul very clearly states, what is eternity? You have to have faith. Faith demands eternity. There are things that we cannot see. Yes, there are plans of God that we cannot understand. But just think on your life. 20 years back, the things that you prayed to God and you did not get answered. Yes, you were answered, but it was not according to your will. But now when you look back, are you going to complain about those things or are you thankful to God? You will say, Lord, I thank you for not giving me, not answering my prayers. Because he is the Lord of our future. He knows what you need for tomorrow. He knows the best for us. When we pray, he knows what we need. He knows where we have to stay because he's an eternal God. And he loves you and me. So let me ask you, what is eternity once again? Have you understood eternity? I never understood eternity till now. Once I go there, I will know better. We all have many questions that are not yet answered. Because whatever we think, it is based on time. So we cannot understand eternity. For God, there is no past, no future, it's now. Everything is present. Therefore, in the book of Revelation, what do we read in the book of Revelation, chapter 13 and verse 8? Even the Lamb that was slain even before the foundation of the world. The Lamb that was slain. Who is that Lamb? Jesus Christ is the Lamb. When was he slain? Where was he slain? We all know. But it says even before the foundation of the world. What does that mean? Because when God speaks to you and me, he is speaking in perspective of eternity. He is not in time. So for him, it is not 1 year, 2 years. That way, what is it? 1,000 years, right? 1,000 years is like one day. Because for him, we are always looking at the 24-hour thing, right? And we are perceiving everything according to time. Let us do the math to understand better way. What is 100 minus 1? 99. 10 minus 1? 9. What is eternity minus 1? What is infinity minus 1? My dear brothers and sisters, time does not work in eternity. It is still eternity. But we are working in time. Therefore, we reduce 100 minus 199. For God, it does not work. It is eternity minus 1 is eternity. Let's close in prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, once again, we bow our hearts this morning time. We give you thanks and adoration this morning time. We could worship you, remembering who you are and what you have done on our behalf, how you redeemed us, how you have made us thy children. You have allowed us to get the access into the holiest of holy, and we come before thee with boldness of heart, not with fear and trembling. And all these things have been possible because the veil that has been rendered open from top to bottom, the very heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, has paved the way for us to look at thy beauty and to worship you. And we thank you and we praise you for the wonderful act of grace and mercy that you have shown and you have given to us. We thank you. We love you, Lord, for all thy goodness and mercy. Lord, we thank you for the word that you gave to us. We are looking at eternity. Lord, we cannot comprehend that. We don't understand many things. But you have promised to us that there is eternity. The moment we leave this earth, we enter into eternity. On the day when you come and lift us up, Lord, we will be in eternity. And when we are on this earth, Lord, Paul reminded us to live our life in an eternal perspective, not in a worldly perspective. Lord, we know that you have promised us an eternal home, and therefore you said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, you believe in me. I go to prepare a place for you. And you have gone to prepare that place, and when you prepare that place, you are going to come back again. And that place is our eternal home. That is eternity, and we all would be in eternity. Lord, this morning time, as we meditate on this word, let this word prick our hearts. Lord, you have destined eternity for each one of us. But where do we want to go? Do we want to have an eternal life in heaven, eternal life with God? Or do we want to have eternal damnation, eternal death, eternal lake of fire? The choice is ours. Lord, my prayer this morning is, if anybody is here who has not chosen that eternal way of life, and Jesus Christ said, I am that way. I am the door. I am the light. You are the only way. And whoever has not chosen Jesus as that personal Savior, they would be in eternal damnation. But eternity belongs to all those people who have loved Jesus Christ and put their trust in him. And we will be in that eternal heaven, eternal house of God, where we'll be rejoicing. We thank you, we praise you, we give you all glory and honor. And ask this prayer, the most precious and worthy name of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.